Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. You're tuned in to Columbo Chronicles at Blog Talk Radio. Follow the mover and shaker, award-winning author and host, seen on TV and radio, Rose Columbo. Every Wednesday, Rose interviews prominent experts and authors on politics and social justice. Call in and listen or ask the guest the question at 646-564-9742. Now, here's Rose.
Hi, everyone. Here's the Rose Columbo. And it is Wednesday, November 1st at Columbo Chronicles in the good old USA and around the world. And tonight we're going to enter into the world of experts and authors. And I'm bringing you a fantastic guest. She was here a couple of weeks ago, and she shared some of her stories of how she got involved in writing her books, which was quite intriguing and interesting. And then she became a nationally known speaker, writer, writing coach, editor, and publisher with over 20 years of experience. And tonight we're going to find out some facts, so get a pen and a paper out, because even if you don't want to write for the public and be published out in the open market, but you'd like to leave your memoirs or your fictional stories or true stories or your little mysteries or poems for your family, tonight you will be able to gain some techniques and tips from the expert, Ina Hillebrandt. So you will not want to miss learning and empowering yourself so you can be the very best you can be as a writer, whether a amateur or just a personal writer or for public review, and maybe even a bestseller, who knows? So when the information is there and the expert is there, you need to grab that information. So I wanted to do a little self-help for our audience and in this area. So prior to entering into the world of authors and experts, I'd like to talk about an event that just happened, and it's very sad and tragic, and our hearts go out to the victims and the families of the victims and to all of America, because prior to 2009, we didn't have these problems that continually occurred because we didn't have an influx and a invasion of unidentified foreigners, non-vetted for diseases and for background checks, coming from foreign enemy nations and bypassing legal immigration, legal citizenship, bypassing Border Patrol, ICE, law enforcement, sheriffs, whose hands were tied during those 8 years through our open borders and Obama flying them into the USA secretly at night for 8 years. So they set up no-go zones and no-go zones in American cities and changed and transformed our cities and also on training camps and in their worst places of worship. No-go zones were never allowed in the USA, and they should never be allowed. The FBI and law enforcement should be allowed to, under probable cause and good reason, to search any areas for stockpiling weapons, as they have no problem doing that when it comes to Americans, legal, lawful, natural-born Americans, or patting you down and naked x-raying you and me at the airports. And radiation is not good for we the people. So they've turned TSA workers into radiation technologists, and they have probably no medical experience and no licenses in that area, I would guess. But thanks to George Soros and his buddy Michael Chertoff and their buddy Obama and the stimulus money, we now, the American people, are the ones who are being naked x-rayed and patted down and searched while the terrorists were flown into the USA and the radicals, the unidentified foreigners, and who admit they're here. The FBI admits they're here in the news, and they have admitted they are here. ISIS, Hamas, all of these terrorist organizations under the umbrella of the Muslim Brotherhood and CARE, and they have admitted they are not here to assimilate. And so now we've had another attack. New York City Marathon presents next logistical challenge for the New York PD, just days after the attack. And then, of course, we have Obama and Hillary and Soros funding Antifa, OFA, Black Lives Matter, who are anti-Trump, anti-Trump supporters, anti-American, anti-national U.S. Flag, national anthem. They're on their knees. I don't know what they're doing on their knees. I don't know who they're praying to, obviously. No one does what they're doing on their knees when we're only paying them to stand up as a national football team for the national anthem. So it makes no sense that a national football team would not stand up for the national anthem, who are the national fans who pay for their tickets to attend their National Football League game. So what they don't understand about the word national is above my being able to figure that one out. So goes out in my prayers and to the victims and to the families of the victims. It says that officials promised a huge police presence to protect the New York City Marathon, which will take place on Sunday, just days after the deadliest terrorist attack in the city since September 11th. Don't forget, there was an attempted attack on Times Square a few years back under Obama's reign, and the FBI was able to thwart it. We will look forward to the marathon on Sunday. It will go on as scheduled. It will be an extraordinary event, as it always is. It will be well protected, as it always is. And we will take additional measures to ensure that, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio said during a press conference on Wednesday. New York PD Chief of Department Carlos Gomez said that following the truck attack in Lower Manhattan on Tuesday, October 31st, which left 8 people dead, innocent people, and a dozen more injured, police immediately mobilized and deployed additional officers and resources throughout the city. Now, we have to remember that this is a continual event happening in the USA. And President Trump has attempted to secure our borders, to build a wall, and to also stop unvetted, unidentified links to terrorist organizations to enter into our country. And he's had nothing but opposition from the Democrats, from activist federal judges who Obama appointed. All of these people are risking the lives and have risked the lives of the American people by refusing to secure the borders, by refusing to follow legal immigration laws, citizenship laws, identification laws, and they set up sanctuary cities using our tax dollars to harbor unidentified, non-vetted, illegal foreigners in our country. And people, loyal, lawful, innocent Americans and tourists, are being killed. So what are they going to do? Are they going to continue to fight against President Trump, who's trying to secure the borders and trying to make America safe again? Not just great again, because we can't be great again until we're safe again. And they begin to uphold, defend, protect the sovereignty and the safety and the welfare and the health of the American people, and stop tearing down our American monuments and ripping our former presidents of the United States off the walls of public buildings in the good old USA and destroying their statues. That is destroying public property, and those who do that should be held accountable, being Christians, and tearing down Christian crosses and demanding that people no longer have Bible studies, and destroying the right to carry a Bible on public school campuses or access them in a university. Well, they allow foreign ideologies to be accessed in our U.S. public schools and foreign books. It's time for Americans to stand up and fight back to preserve this great nation, the U.S. Constitution, the national anthem, the U.S. flag, U.S. history, sovereignty, or we won't have a country that we recognize. Our children will not live in the same country we grew up in, where we have freedom, liberty, rights, we're safe and secure and sovereign. And we have public servants who are ethical, who are principled, who have integrity, of good character, and are honest. We need to bring that back to our country. And we need to fight back. We don't have a choice. We either stand up or we will be lying down. So anyway, that is my comment for this evening, because I love this country, and I think President Trump loves this country. I'm not concerned about his words about women, because I don't know any men that are pure and in that area with their locker talk. So I think the key focus is that he loves this country. He is a legal, lawful, natural-born American, and he was fairly elected by we the people for 4 years. And it's time to stop attacking the President of the United States. It sends a very bad message out to our foreign enemy nations and to the world. We are not the divided states of America. We are the United States of America. So, if you have a story as an American or a foreigner, and you would like to tell your story, this is the time to get out your pen and your paper and take notes from Ina Hildebrandt, our very special guest tonight, nationally known speaker, writer, writing coach, editor, and publisher with 20 years of experience in memoir, fiction, mystery, comedy, and self-help. And we're going to talk to Ina Hildebrandt in just a moment. Let's take a break, and we'll enter into the world of authors and experts.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car. Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion, not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Columbo Chronicles Live with Rose Columbo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Colombo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics. From politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up. Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc. Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So, from Rose Colombo's home on the Colombo Chronicles Live to your home, Colombo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make the sure you are listening.
Listening is an art. An art that humans are losing to the world of robots. Robots don't have any tone or human feelings. The addiction to communicate by texting isn't going away. People are feeling isolated, lonely, frustrated. People need people willing to listen to them. Can you imagine getting a text message that read, "You're fired," or "Hi, would you marry me?" It is happening. Colombo Chronicles is the option and the answer to human communication. Colombo Chronicles provides email access to your ideas and issues. Take advantage of this opportunity now. Go to ColomboChronicles.com. Click on subscribe today. Colombo is spelled C-O-L-O-M-B-O Chronicles. Fill out the form, submit it, bookmark and subscribe today. Remember the name, ColomboChronicles.com.
Yes, remember the name, ColomboChronicles.com. And now we're about to enter into the world of authors and experts with our very special guest, Ina Hildebrand, who's returning. She was here a few weeks ago on our show, and she told us a little bit about her own background and how she got involved in writing and publishing her own books and helping other people with their writing. And it was really quite interesting and entertaining as well as educational. So we've invited her back to answer some of the tips and the techniques that you are looking for and I am looking for. And because even though I have published books, you cannot learn enough on how to make that book, a bestseller, or to make it as perfect as you personally want it to be, whether it's for your own personal family, for yourself, or maybe you want to be a bestseller. You have the opportunity now to learn from a real expert. As I said, Ina Hildebrand is a nationally known speaker, writer, writing coach. She's an editor and publisher. She has more than 20 years of experience in memoir, fiction, mystery, comedy, and self-help. So grab your pen and paper. She's proud to say that both published authors and newbies have written testimonials such as, "This class has been a real kick in the butt to my writing. My inner critic's gone. He's somewhere in the Bahamas." In fact, Ina's own books include How to Write Your Memoirs, Fun Prompts to Make Reading and Writing Your Life Stories a Pleasure. And she's an Amazon top seller with Paw Prints, The Student Prince, The Paw Prints Literacy and Kindness to Animals Program Curriculum Guide, developed from work begun with Jane Goodall Institute. In fact, her latest book makes me laugh. It'll make you laugh. It's entitled, "You Are Who You Eat. The Revolutionary New Cannibal Diet," is now in the Cartoon Library and Museum at Ohio State University. So congratulations to Ina Hildebrand on that. She loves working with writers, and this will come out in the interview as a coach, editor, and publisher. So let's get started and let's say hello to Ina Hildebrand and welcome her back. Hi, Ina. How are you this evening?
Hi there, Rose. I am peachy. It's good to talk to you. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I've been on this diet and for about a month, and it's doing well. But today I decided to treat myself, and I actually drove through In-N-Out Burger and got a cheeseburger. I could help
and fries,
myself.
Right? They make really good fries.
Well, I wasn't going to throw that in, but yeah. but I didn't put any salt on them.
Well, now, see, if we were talking about my cannibal diet book, I would tell you to lay off the fried stuff. You know, in cannibal terms, that's lay off fried people. But people
well,
get it. You know, if you go easy on fried foods, it's better for the waistline. But
well,
once
I
in a while,
that
I'm
we all, need to treat ourselves, you know.
I was just going the same place. I think we really do, and it's absolutely fair. I did the same today. I was working with some people, and I indulged in some wonderful snack stuff, which I don't usually do. But it you just have to do that. You really have to give yourself a treat once in a while, and it, you know, as long as you don't go nuts with that, it really helps. So I'm all for
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And I figure,
yeah.
Well, I'm fine with that now. I'm back on my regular diet, and I'm not going to crave another In-N-Out burger for probably another 3 months, and I'll have lost more pounds. So I'll be
sounds
fine.
Perfect. You know what? Can I tie this to writing? Since
absolutely.
We're going to be talking about writing, because it's dawning on me that something happens to me, and I want to talk to you guys who are listening out there about this. When I get really involved in a project, I can forget to eat, which is always not a good idea. And so another thing, but you know, sometimes you get carried away and then finally you do break to eat. And I would suggest that if you can really not get carried away so much that you don't eat, that's really smart. In other words, take breaks. It's good for your body, it's good for your soul, and you'll actually write better if you do take breaks. I wanted to share with you also that when I'm writing, I sometimes, along with the fact that I'm very involved with the words, I start wanting to do other artistic stuff, and I want to do nurturing stuff. And how that comes out for me is I start getting creative in the kitchen. So I'm writing my heart out, you know, and then I'll take a dinner break and I'll go to the kitchen and I'll womp up a really nice meal. And I find that satisfies my soul. And, you know, it's like you took a break today to go to the In-N-Out Burger. It's the same kind of thing, but at home, and I'm doing it for myself. And I'm taking care of myself. And, you know, when I finish the meal, I can go back to the writing. I feel good about myself. I've done something nice for myself. It's kind of a reward for having stuck with the writing before that. And it all works together.
I think you're right, and I think it is, because, you know, I know that if you just sit down, like, and just write and write and write, you do lose time and you lose track, and you do have to take time out for yourself to stand up and stretch, or, you know, and to, like you said, go in the kitchen and make yourself a nice meal and take a break and relax and then come back to the writing and refresh your brain. I think that's a wonderful suggestion.
Thank
you. You know, Ina, oh, you're welcome. You know, Ina, especially with your book, You Are Who You Eat, The Revolutionary New Cannibal Diet, I think people should take a break and read a little bit of that at a time, because it is very funny. And you know, yeah. As an esthetician in the beauty industry, I could tell you that laughter is really good for people, and making them happy and making yourself happy, and laughter helps stimulate your brain. So, you know, so then you're more energized to continue on with whatever you're writing. So I know you've worked with lots of people, and they're trying to get a book project started. And so because there's millions of people who think about it, what would you say is the biggest hang-up or block?
Good question. I thank you for that. I think in my experience in working with people, there are a couple big ones. And the first one is, who cares? You know, who am I? I'm nobody, especially if it's a memoir. I'm nobody. Nobody cares about my story. And let me come back on that one first. The answer that I give them is, everybody has a story. They might say, yeah, but so what? I'm a nobody. No, actually, you're not a nobody. You are an individual. You have lived a life to this date, and you've got more to go. The things that you've done in your life show that you have actually accomplished things and you have figured out stuff. We all go through obstacles in our lives. Life is both ways. It's up and it's down, right? And in between and sideways. We figure out ways to overcome obstacles. And when we have done that and we tell the stories about that, those ways that we've shown ourselves that we can move ahead will also be of benefit to whoever is reading about what we've done. People will learn from the way you've handled stuff. And it gives them, I see this in my classes. I see people talking to each other. Gee, I hadn't thought of that, or gee, that's a good idea, and I really like, and what happened when that happened? It leads us, your story will help other people because it will show them a path through a tough moment kind of thing. So there is that. Your story is of value. And it's also, of course, of value to people in your family. I'm talking now strictly about memoir at the moment. It's of value to people in your family because they'll learn more about you, and in learning more about you, they'll learn more about themselves. And all of that is very important. So do not put yourself down. Do not. And again, this is one of the biggest issues for people who haven't written yet, especially, or also, and also applies to people who have written in other forms and are really very good at it, but have never, and in fact accomplished, and even names, but they have not tried the memoir form. They're afraid to tackle the memoir form because they don't think they're important either. And they also are afraid, here's the other fear that people share, whether they're experienced or not. I don't know how. The people who've never written will say, I've never written anything in my life. I'm not a writer. And the people who have written before will say, I am a writer, but I don't know how to write in this form, and I think it's an exalted form, especially a screenwriter, which always astonishes me. Screenwriting, which I think is an art, a real art, will say to me, don't you think? Yeah, it takes...
Yes, I do.
Yeah,
I'm taking classes
really,
on that, and it is an art.
Yes, and there are rules and all sorts of things you need to know, and of course you need to know the rules so you can break them, but you also need the rules because you need to follow them too. But
right.
You can't break a rule until you know what it is.
You know? Like you can't break
but
a law.
That's it. So anyway, the people who are coming in to this art form that they haven't done before think that they don't know how to do it, and they're quite both kinds of people, the ones who've never written and the ones who are experienced and are trying a new form, are very, very filled with concern, fear. You know, it feels like a daunting task. So,
when you're writing your memoirs on, Ina, just excuse me one second. Does it make people? Do people share that they feel like they're maybe boasting about their life, or you know, think they're more important than other people? And it's that fear of being looked at in a way that they fear being looked at like, she thinks she's, or he or she is so important that they wrote their own memoirs. I mean, is there any of that fear?
You know, that's very interesting. I love that take on things. I actually, in my experience, I'm sure that that's true for some people. I personally have not had people say that to me, that is one of their fears. But it makes perfect sense that it would be. I hear more often the other side of it, I'm not important, and therefore who am I and why should I write my story? Nobody will care. So that's what I hear more of. But I think you've hit on something that I'll have to think more about and, you know, in my memory banks and see if I can think of a time when somebody has exhibited what you're talking about. Like, I don't want to brag about myself. I'm not that important. And you know what? There is somebody I was working with who I think that was part of what was going on with him. He didn't put it quite that way, but I think it might have been. He was very self-effacing in life, and he thought that if he did tell his story, and he had accomplished quite a bit, that it would seem that way. So you, yes, I think that is an issue. So good point, and let's just put all of that to rest, because, again, let me get back to everybody has a story, and stories are interesting. You know, even if you don't think so, believe me, they are. Now, the question is, how do you make them interesting in print? And that's something that scares a lot of people, too. So what one of my first things to say to people who are nervous is, look, this does not have to be the great American novel. You know, put that aside.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't be so frightened. It's a frightening concept if you think that way. What I like to do with people is to get them to realize that this is actually fun. And once you get into it, you see that. I mean, once people start, a lot of the time they just can't stop. You know, I think I told you that, and I may have told this to listeners last time, a guy came into one of my classes once and went home. We were in the city of Los Angeles when he came to see me. He lived up in the mountains and went back home to the mountains. And about a month later, I got a telephone call. I have 29,000 words written. Can we work together? I need your help. And it all started in that class. He was ready. You know, I've had people say that what happens is once they start working in these classes with me, and just in general, I don't want to take credit for this. This is, sometimes people come to you when they're ready, you know, and you just mm-hmm. have the opportunity to get them going. And once that spigot is open, it doesn't want to close, and that's just fun. It's fun when all that stuff comes out and you start to pile up pages, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's rewarding, and it's fun, so that makes it not frightening. And here are some ways to make the process easier.
Okay.
You know, my book, How to Write Your Memoirs, fun prompts to make writing and reading your life stories a pleasure. There's a reason for that subtitle, and that's really, I believe so strongly, you mentioned it earlier, in the power of humor. There's a lot of laughing when I work with people, and I just think it's important to lighten up on ourselves. And I use a lot of prompts, and in that book there are a ton of prompts to help you get started thinking about stories of your life at different times of your life. And you can get very specific with these. And I work with people to do some visualizations so that you can close your eyes and imagine that you're, you know, for the first thing I tell people, the very first one, and I think we could do this right now for listeners. If you haven't started yet, one way that you might want to start working if you're doing a memoir, a good way to get going is to think about your very first memory, the very first thing you can remember, and get very concrete about it. By that I mean just close your eyes, because it'll do better for you if you do that, and then just be in this spot where you were and look around you and see where you are. Are you inside? Are you outdoors somewhere? Are you alone? Are you with others? Are they people? Maybe it's pets. What do you see? What colors do you see? What do you smell? What do you hear? How do you feel? And when you've got that, just write down what happened.
Wow.
And you will. Did you do it?
Yeah, that's powerful.
Great. Thank you. It's something that I find, and I do that. There are other exercises like that in the book too. And I do find that using that kind of technique is very good at helping you just get going. You know, and it becomes not that difficult.
Ina, I just wanted to interject here. I think too, by that exercise, that sometimes it will bring a memory that's maybe sad in your life or an unhappy time, and maybe that's what they're supposed to write about. And then as they're writing and writing and it's all over, maybe they feel better about it, whether it's published or not published.
That's absolutely true. We know from research that one of the values of writing your own story, for starters, is it's cathartic. And you're absolutely right. You've hit it. People have a lot. We all have pain. Things have happened to us in our lives. And a lot of time, many people haven't had the ability, willingness, knowledge that they should type of thing to talk about it. For various reasons, we don't talk about these pains often. And so we hold them in and can get sick from that, as you know. You know, I mean, any of us that has a spiritual bent knows that we get ill from holding in this stuff. When we let it out, we are not only healthier, we're happier. We're both.
Mm-hmm.
It affects body and mind. So I really believe in the power of writing for that reason. And again, it's not that difficult when you start doing this. Another tool I will use with people who are especially new to the game of writing is to just talk to a friend in your head. You know, as you're writing, imagine that you're talking to a friend. And that will start making your writing a lot easier. It becomes really much simpler when you do that. Now,
that's a good one.
The thing about what do you do when you're writing, I guess we're going to be with memoir mostly today, because that seems to be a good place to talk about this kind of process. When you're writing a memoir, do you have to write about your whole life? No. Because, again, that's a daunting task. Besides which, you would bore people to tears. So you don't want to do that, even if it's family and friends. There are different ways to do this. Now, some people do write about their whole life story in terms of chronology. They go from start to finish. And there's nothing wrong with that, especially if you're an entertaining writer, and some people are automatically that way. But a more dramatic way to write a memoir, particularly if you want it to go out to the public, you want to sell this thing, you pick a point in your life that was very meaningful to you. And you, the scope of the book is about that pivotal point in your life. I've worked with people who've had very serious illnesses and found out about it, you know, and what led up to that, and then what happened afterward. That is an important story for them to tell. Now, certainly, other things in their lives have happened, but that's a very important moment in time. I worked with someone who had a very life-threatening experience, and that changed his life. And that is another pivotal point in life, and you can start in the middle of that. You can start somewhere along the line of the inciting incident, which can be very dramatic, and then work backwards and forwards going from there. Now, that may seem confusing, but it could be hard for you to do, and I don't want people to feel intimidated. It's one way to go. There are lots of different ways you can structure a memoir, and in fact, I list a bunch of them in the book, the How to Write Your Memoirs book. One woman that I was working with, she was writing chronologically, but not by years. She was writing, get this, I thought it was brilliant. She was writing her life story in terms of the houses she lived in.
Oh.
And I just, isn't that charming? I mean, she's a wonderful writer. Her name is Kay Roberts, and just a terrific writer. And she would write stories about the various houses. And so she moved to different houses at different times of her life, and she would talk about the characters in her life, and that's very important. The people with whom you've come in contact are critical to making your life
your writing come to life. And you want to pay a lot of attention to getting those characters as close to who they were as you can remember if you're doing memoir. Sometimes you want to not use real names, especially if there was something dicey going on and you don't want to get people in trouble. You should use a pseudonym for them. But you know, there are different ways to do it. One book that I worked with a fellow on, he's a very interesting guy, and he was 70 years old. I think we met when he was 69, and he had written a bunch of material, but he wanted help shaping it for the book, and he wanted help editing and finishing up the pieces of it. And he had written this in a chronological way. And again, as I said, ordinarily for the public, if you want a book to be popular, you wouldn't necessarily do it that way. But his stories were so much fun, and his way of thinking was interesting, and his philosophy of life was absolutely delightful. He lived life to the fullest. This one is called Wine, Women, Whispers, and it's by a man named Alon Mintz, a.k.a. Rocky Minciano, and he had a few other names too. He was a serial entrepreneur, a lover of women and wine, and just got a fascinating life story. And he had come in touch with all kinds of famous people, and that was Now, here's another thing. I was just about to finish my sentence with the word pictures. A lot of pictures are in this book. It's wonderful if you have photographs that you can use in a memoir, photographs from your life story and of places you've been, people you've been with. And very often it's nice to have a center section of photographs in the finished book. And then what we did with his book was put a photograph at the beginning of each chapter as well. And the photographs were just stunning. I mean, he had some really good stuff. So I actually designed the book and even the cover on this one. I don't always do that, but in this one I just had an idea and developed it. He had a picture. He was a very handsome man, and even at his age, as 70, when we completed the work, he was still very handsome. And when he was younger, he was a model and an actor for a while. So he had these beautiful photographs taken of him as an actor. And one of those was just a really striking photograph of him, a black and white. And I decided that would be a wonderful cover. Him, you know, is a handsome, compelling looking guy. And then, you know, the title was at the top, Wine, Women, Whispers. And then across the middle of him, roughly, he was kidnapped twice.
Wow. By women?
No. I mean, there were stories of kidnapping in there. And it was dicey what happened to him. He had been in some very interesting situations. And he was in the Middle East. It was Greece. I've forgotten exactly where the kidnappings were there, because there were two. But there were some very, very interesting stories. And it was intriguing for people to see that, you know.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So, again, you know, there are different ways to organize your life story. A fellow that I worked with, we have a book called Go East, Young Man, Go East, based on his work as a minister to the flock of what is now Saudi Aramco oil. It was Aramco at the time, and it was the oil company in Saudi Arabia that was just at the time that oil was being discovered as a big deal in the 50s.
Mm.
And he was over there as a minister. He was a minister, and he was ministering to the flock of the Americans who were over there showing the Saudis how to do oil extraction and make it into a business. And there's this big pipeline, and in fact, that's on the cover. I was able to get pictures from Saudi Aramco, from the oil company, and gosh, they, you know, absolutely fabulous photos. Plus, he had his own photos, and his story was different from other people's because his life was his life, you know? So it wasn't. And
so I think what you're saying is that everybody is a book, And everybody has chapters that they can actually create some memoirs out of if they follow your techniques and your tips and learn all of these things from you as the expert. And we're talking to Ina Hillebrandt, nationally known speaker, writer, writing coach, editor, and publisher, and even of her own wonderful books on Amazon.com. And she's giving us tips and techniques, so be sure you have your pen and paper out. Because, Ina, I also, before we take a break, I wanted to ask you what happens when people have several ideas to work on and they may have three or more books started. What do you do? What do you advise?
Well, I'm going through that myself, so I'm going to be talking to myself here too. I created a workshop called Jumpstart Your Book, which we're kind of doing here on the radio now. And the idea is to think about when you do have more than one project, like many people have three that they've been thinking about or even started. So I will ask you to think about this question. Which one is furthest along, that you've done the most on, it's the most developed? The reason for that is for me, what's important is a sense of accomplishment and getting something done. Not just for the sake of getting it done, but being able to then be freed up to do another one. Mm-hmm. You can't do them all
that
at once,
sense.
Usually. Very few people should or even want to do more than one at a time. If you focus your energy, you can. You know, they're finding out that multitasking is not necessarily a good thing. there's research on that, in general. And in writing, I feel very seriously that it's important to be able to focus, especially if you want to do a book and you really want to get it done. Just stay with it. And when you do that, so again, when you're making the choice about which one, the first question is which one is closest to being finished. Now, that may not be your final choice, but it's a good way to start thinking about it. The next question is which one do you feel strongest about? Some people have come to me with something that is just so close to their heart. They just feel driven to doing it now. And mm-hmm. I think, all power, that supersedes whether something else is further along for me. And that's more important. So
passion.
I would say, yes, passion, exactly. And sometimes there's a reason for that. Sometimes these books that you feel passionate about, they're very related to what is going on around you at the moment. I've had people who have been very plugged into what's going on in the world and have done work that would be of great use to people who are living through various crises right now. And they've done it. They've lived through them. They have gotten through them. They have ideas. And that would be helpful to others. So I think if you have something like that going on that you can share, that makes a lot of sense. And again, it supersedes whether or not it's closest to done. That's more important. And you kind of have to do it for your own well-being. If that thing is inside you and it's screaming to get out, just pay attention. That's a really critical thing.
Yeah, that's like your intuition telling you, and you ignore it, and then you would go and do the other book, finish the other book instead of your passion, and then you usually end up sorry because usually your instinct is correct. And I believe in instinct and passion and love for what you're doing. And so I agree with you. Let's take a little break because when we come back, I've heard the word glue, and I definitely can't wait for you to tell us what does that mean to other than the glue we know about.
Alrighty.
We'll be back in just a minute on Columbo Chronicles.
Listening is an art that humans are losing to the world of robots. Robots don't have any tone or human feelings. The addiction to communicate by texting isn't going away. People are feeling isolated, lonely, frustrated. People need people willing to listen to them. Can you imagine getting a text message that read, "You're fired," or hi, would you marry me? It is happening. Columbo Chronicles is the option and the answer to human communication. Columbo Chronicles provides email access to your ideas and issues. Take advantage of this opportunity now. Go to columbochronicles.com. Click on subscribe today. Columbo is spelled C-O-L-O-M-B-O Chronicles. Fill out the form, submit it, bookmark and subscribe today. Remember the name, columbochronicles.com.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Hi, everyone. We're back on Columbo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast in the good old USA. But as we all know, this is worldwide online blog talk radio, and you can listen anywhere in the country. You just have to check your time, bookmark, follow. We have special guests, such as our guests this evening, Ina Hillebrandt, nationally known speaker, writer, writing coach, editor, publisher of 20-plus years, and she's here telling us some really important tips and techniques on how to write your memoir, Everybody Has a Story. And so if you're out of the country or you're in a different area, you just have to check the time and bookmark it and check in with us every Wednesday. And if you miss the show, you can check back with blogtalkradio.com/Columbo Chronicles, and you can scroll on down and listen to your favorite topic and your favorite guests. All shows are archived. And so now let's, Ina, let's find out, what does the word glue mean?
You bet. Elmer's. It means it. No.
Elmer's glue.
I remember Elmer's. The word glue comes from my thinking that the hardest thing for writers once they get started can be sticking with it. A lot of people just say, oh, I just want to stop. I can't do this. I just, you know, they get frustrated. And sometimes there are a couple ways to handle this. One of the glue comes from Dorothy Parker, I thought, but it turns out the Dorothy Parker Society says she never said it, but the quote this comes from is, the art of writing consists of planting the ass firmly in the seat of the chair. So, pardon me, I probably shouldn't say that word on air, but the point of, so I think about glue. You glue yourself to the seat and just make yourself do it. But there are different things to keeping going with keeping yourself motivated to keep on writing. And the glue part is very important. And where that comes to make some sense is, okay, so I'm stuck. I want to get this thing done, but I'm not disciplined. What do I do? Well, there are different kinds of techniques different famous writers have used that work for all of us to keep going so that you finish a project. And it's very important to finish the project, finish the book, for your own sense of well-being, your sense of satisfaction, and to not disappoint yourself. So, well, you can call it appointment writing. When I think of glue, I think of appointment writing. So you make an appointment with yourself that's unbreakable. And that is either a certain hour of the day or number of hours or a certain day of the week. And that is your time that you have promised to you that you are going to write. And some people are able to write every single day, which is swell. And it'll get you, you know, to produce more and more quickly when you do that. Whatever way you can work it out, make these appointments with yourself and keep them. Do not break them. What is the criterion? Why hours, or what do you do with those hours? Well, here's the thing. You can assign yourself hours on a clock, or you can assign yourself numbers of words per session, or you can assign yourself numbers of pages per session. There's a project going on right now, which is NAMO, Nano RIMO. It's a national writing project, and people are writing a novel in 30 days. And the suggestion from that group is 1,000 words per session.
Mm-hmm.
And it's per day.
And so what you're teaching people is, you're, in my opinion here, is that you must treat yourself as a professional, treat yourself as a responsible person, and commitment and being committed to your project if they want to complete their project with that they have passion and love for. And, I mean, that's how, and keep your mind open to all of these techniques and learning more and more techniques from a professional like you, Ina Hillebrandt. And so even if they aren't seeking to go out into the world and become a best-selling author or get a script writer and write the movie, they personally can have something they're proud of completing and leaving for their family, or just a personal accomplishment that maybe that was their dream. Is that sort of like this process, as part of this process of treating yourself like a professional too and being accountable and committed?
Yes, I like that way of thinking of it, Rose. That's good. It very much means being professional about it, keeping in, and you know, that's actually very self-rewarding when you do that. It makes you feel worthwhile. It's a good way to put it. And you are, you
mm-hmm.
know, and you sit down and you start to write, and by golly, by gee, guess what happens? You start keeping these dates with yourself, and the pages start mounting. And that also is reinforcing. So,
yeah,
you know, you will see,
I think it's important.
Yes, you will see progress. You really will see progress. And, you know, I did want to mention a couple of things that we kind of left. There's something I wanted to get back to that's very related to this. As you're writing,
we have about a minute.
Okay. Photographs. Keep photographs around, and they will stimulate your thinking. And let me also offer people a goodie that I'd love to do. I was looking through files recently and realized I have a couple of different tip sheets for you. So if writers want to find out some tips for writing, get a hold of me at my inathememoircoach.com website, and just write Columbo Chronicles Live in the subject, and I'll know it's from somebody listening to the show, and just I will send you a tip sheet on some of these things that we haven't gotten to today, but that might be helpful for you.
That's wonderful. And also, you have a couple other websites too. Would you like to share those?
Sure. I have one for the book we were talking about earlier, youarewhoyoueat.net. That's the one on the cannibal diet, and that's the one that's kind of a lot of fun. I have one called inaspawprints.com, and on there you will see a lot of stuff that I do with kids, with seniors. You'll be able to get a hold of me from any of these sites if you'd like some help with coaching, with editing, with getting published. I can help you with those kinds of things. Just write me, and we'll get in touch if you'd like to talk. Happy to do it. I work with people by phone. I also do workshops, and you can find me that way, and we can actually talk. I would love that. Love to hear from people with questions.
Thank you so much, Ina Hillebrandt. We'll have to bring you back because we never get through all the questions, and we still have to talk in the future about fiction, mystery, comedy, and self-help because they're all separate. So
okay.
Hopefully you'll come back and share more information with us on tips and techniques, and more people will get in touch with you who are looking to reach their dreams and write their memoirs or their books. And I really appreciate all the information you provided to us, and we will put it to good use. And God bless you, and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Me too. Good night.
Good night, Rose.
And Ina Hillebrandt has left the building, but be sure to go to her website and inaspawprints.com, inaspawprints.com, and inathememoircoach.com, and youarewhoyoueat.net, which is a very funny book. And I just want to thank everyone for listening. Tune in again next Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Check the time in your area. And thank you, Russia, Norway, Spain, Italy. Gosh, if I missed you, China, all of you out there in the world who tune in randomly on different days at different times as I check at rosecolombo.com. I thank you so much for listening to ColumboChronicles.com, and God bless you too wherever you are in the world. And thanks again for listening. And we'll talk to you next Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. So don't touch that dial when you're listening to Columbo Chronicles with Rose Columbo.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car. Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion, not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Columbo Chronicles Live with Rose Columbo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Columbo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics. From politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up. Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc. Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So, from Rose Columbo's home on the Columbo Chronicles Live to your home, Columbo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make sure you are listening.
Rose Columbo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Columbo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or, if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Columbo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Columbo Chronicles.